we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. It's the deadly flu season. I'm Andy Hung.
He's sitting there at home with a mask on with no one else there.
Just to get your attention that it's a very serious thing across the country, including a lot of children are dying of it now.
And I actually got a flu shot for the first time in my
life. For the first time?
First time ever.
Wow.
Well,
you can be a contrarian, and since RFK Jr. is against them, you're now for them.
I am. I've had a number of vaccine shots. I have not yet gotten my shingles shots. I'm working up to that. But my since you asked, which you didn't.
I am asking. How you doing, Ann?
Well, aside from the fact that I threw my hip out yesterday and I am in some level of pain and trying to figure out what to do about that, everything else is going fine. My focus at the moment is on drug interactions, and I urge you all to pay attention to that because I'm on a couple of cancer drugs. I'm on an acid reflux drug. I'm on a statin. I'm on a thyroid pill I've been taking for 30 years, and I think that may be it at the moment. But there are other things you take periodically, and it occurred to me suddenly, wait a minute, can I take those other periodic things in conjunction with the pills I'm taking? So I started Googling, and the one that really put up a red flag was an antihistamine. That Benadryl was not a good mix with one of my cancer drugs. So I have switched antihistamines, which I occasionally take, to a different one that is not a bad actor with my ribociclib or Kisqali. So that's just a new thing to put on your...
Well, sure. Plate. I mean, when I heard you were in distress, I tried to peddle some of my many leftover heavy-duty painkillers that I had a couple of months ago, but you wisely demurred.
Well, it's a serious business because if you're on certain drugs, you really can't mix them with others and you can have some bad side effects. So
don't ever take anybody else's prescription drugs. But anyway, shall we get to the news?
I wouldn't go that far, but I would check out interactions.
Okay. Happy New Year, by the way, everybody. We missed you.
Oh, God, yes.
We start off with the usual terrible news from the Trump administration, where he and his cabinet use their holiday greetings to promote Christian nationalism and then go to war with the rest of the Western Hemisphere.
And the EEOC, the Employment is calling on
Opportunity Commission.
Thank you. See, it's mixing those drugs. They are calling on white men to come forward with bias allegations. They're soliciting clients from among the white male population to charge bias against them.
So the U.S. House passed a bill to criminalize gender-affirming care for minors. And we are cautiously optimistic that the Senate will use the filibuster to stop it.
Well, evidently, the Trump administration thinks that's a possibility, too, because they have issued an order cutting Medicare and Medicaid funding to hospitals that provide gender-affirming care to minors. So even if they don't get the bill passed, they have their own executive order way of doing it.
Better news from New York, where our new mayor, Zoran Mamdani, named an out lesbian as the fire commissioner, a first.
And she is a big, bold lesbian, which is driving the right wing crazy. Out gay composer Stephen Schwartz has joined the legions of artists boycotting the Kennedy Center over Trump's takeover. But there are rumors of some fight back from Trump. Wait till you hear that one.
Will Smith, Tyler Perry, and Donnie McClurkin have been sued by their male employees, or some of the male employees.
Well, you know, Donnie advertised himself as ex-gay, but evidently not so ex these days.
I find it very hard to quit.
I can't quit you, man. We're going to pay tribute to a number of prominent gay people who've died in the last couple of weeks, including our colleague, friend, and sometime Gay USA guest, gay and AIDS activist Mark Milano, who has died at the age of 69.
And the legendary gay film director, gay and AIDS activist Rosa von Praunheim, who has also been a guest on Gay USA many times over the years, has died at 83.
The Pope did something impressive. He fired a Vatican employee who used an anti-gay slur during Christmas services.
And the highest grossing movie actor in the world in 2025 is a gay man.
I would say sort
of. We'll talk about it later, Anne.
We'll get to it.
But I mean, let's talk about the world right now.
Before we get to that, I really, really, really want to emphasize that we showed two wonderful documentaries in the last 2 weeks while we were gone. And the people who've commented to us have been very appreciative. So I just want to alert people that if you didn't see them, you really should make a point to go back and see them. One is called Taking a Chance on God, about early Catholic activist and writer John McNeil, made by Brendan Fay. Very moving and impressive film. And then Jim Hubbard's wonderful film about ACT UP, United in Anger. We showed a slightly abbreviated version, cut to our time period, but really energizing and inspiring for activism as we go forward.
And it wasn't just because I was away. I could have done the show from London, but we were not entitled to get into the studio at MNN for 2 weeks, so. We were up against that.
Holidays. All right, now to the news.
I mean, you know, it's very disconcerting, of course, horrifying what we're going through with Venezuela, Greenland, all that kind of stuff. I want to cite what Ann Applebaum wrote in The Atlantic. If America's just a regional bully, then our former allies in Europe and Asia will close their doors and markets to us. Sooner or later, our Western Hemisphere will organize against us and fight back. So far from making us more powerful, the pursuit of American dominance will make us weaker, eventually leaving us with no sphere of and no influence at all.
Well, that's a little more attractive image than the idea that we are so uber powerful that we will succeed in taking over most of the world, which is a really frightening prospect that is certainly what's on Trump's mind.
Okay. All right. So then we had the deranged Christmas tweets and messages from Trump and his cabinet, all emphasizing, well, of course, Trump also said, we no longer have open borders, men and women sports, transgender for everyone, or we can law enforcement. He always has to throw that in. And then the cabinet, they kept posting things like Marco Rubio, the joyous message of Christmas is the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ. The Labor Department, joy to the world, let the earth receive her king. I'm not sure who they meant. And, you know, Homeland Security, Christ is born. I mean, this is wholly inappropriate for a government agency.
More and more so every day. They're, we will repeat ourselves, shameful, relentless, totally without any kind of value system that honors the state of the country. To them, it's just them and their preferences.
And Hegseth said he's conducting a review of the effectiveness of women in combat. How about a review of the effectiveness of men in combat, given that we've lost every undeclared war since World War II. You know, Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan.
No, but they're very proud of what they did in Venezuela, to which they referred by saying those brave men of ours who went, and which immediately made me wonder whether there were any women involved. And maybe they just kept women out. Maybe they're shutting women out of all active duty things. I haven't heard anything. They did manage to kill 80 people in Venezuela.
Rarely mentioned in the news reports.
Yes, very.
It was just a perfect operation. And then they're really going after people of color. The federal EEOC is calling on white men to come forward with bias allegations. Are you a white male who's experienced discrimination at work based on your race or sex? You may have a claim to recover money under the federal civil rights laws. This sounds like, you know, a fly-by-night lawyer coming on the air. So that's what they're up against. And then J.D. Vance described DEI as a deliberate program of discrimination against white men. And then he gave a speech where he said, "We no longer have to apologize for being white."
Well, they've been saying this, you know, since the first administration. They may be getting louder and more overt about it, but this has been their attitude all along.
All right. Let's talk about, can we talk about what happened in the U.S. House?
Sure.
Well, they did vote to criminalize providers and in some cases, even family members for delivering gender-affirming care to young people. It bars all kinds of things. Now, there are hopes that the Senate will, you know, get rid of this in conference through the filibuster.
Yeah, because they need 60 votes to pass it, right?
Yes.
The problem is that we just don't know whether the Democrats will stand firm against this because trans people and trans issues are very hot button these days.
Well, you say they're hot button, but we saw what happened in the elections this past November, where they spent more than half their money, these Republican gubernatorial candidates, on anti-trans ads, and they failed spectacularly.
Well, they certainly failed in New Jersey and Virginia, but if you're looking at Democratic senators from more conservative states, and I assume there are a few, I wonder whether they can be, you know.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema to worry about anymore, but it's that ilk that I'm concerned about.
Okay. And then, of course, there's the bigger threat, I think, which is what the Department of Health and Human Services rolled out, which is to cut Medicare and Medicaid funds to hospitals if they do gender-affirming care for minors. Now, that's, you know, of course, we used to use that technique to get them to do good things, you know, in our time. But that's what they're doing. And there are 18 states suing to stop this.
There are also some quiet private efforts going on to organize care outside of hospitals, you know, puberty blockers, hormones.
Don't draw attention to it. It's going to be
I'm not naming any names, but I'm just saying in general that people are not entirely standing still for this. But should you run across an effort like this, you might want to pitch in to help because they'll need that. But they can do that fairly economically. And there are a lot of patients who are seeking care because they are terrified. And there is a hospital, I didn't write it down, San Francisco.
Upstate New York.
But also on the West Coast, a hospital that says they're going to go ahead and continue the care.
Oh, I'm talking
They're defying the government orders, but who knows how long that'll last.
Right.
But there are a lot of good people out there who are trying to fill the gap.
No, the administration doesn't just hate trans youth. They hate all young people. Federal health officials announced dramatic revisions to the slate of vaccines recommended for children, reducing the number of diseases prevented by routine shots from 11 to 11 from 17. Now, the states, not the federal government, have the authority to mandate vaccinations, but recommendations from the CDC greatly influence state regulations.
Of course. And then it all gets tied up in funding, too, because it may be a state thing. But as you see, the federal government can come in and say, well, we don't like what you're doing as an independent state, and we still control the purse strings for some federal funding. And maybe we'll cut that federal funding if we don't like what you're doing.
And
by the way, one of the back to the trans youth, there are threats from the federal government saying chest binders should be defined as medical devices, so then they can be banned.
Well, in New York, Governor, we still have other federal news, but in New York, Governor Kathy Hochul signed a bill expanding a state law protecting gender-affirming care and reproductive care from out-of-state legal proceedings. But she also vetoed legislation intended to improve access to medication to treat or prevent HIV. She had her reasons. She's not anti, AIDS prevention, but that's what happened in New York.
Yeah, I think she said something about it was already available and this new bill was unnecessary or confusing or something. I'm being confusing.
And of course, the horrible Elise Stefanik is no longer running for governor for the Republican nomination. So she's going to face one of the most famous anti-trans activists in the country, Bruce Blakeman, who is the county executive of Nassau County. And she,
Hochul will face him.
Will face him, and she ought to clean his clock.
Yes, she should, and I hope will, but he also has a track record of winning and being quite the bully. And
5 points in Nassau County, come on. It's like he's got to face the city, and we're not voting for him.
I'm not laying any bets. The only bet I'm laying is a 50-50 chance that Trump will knock down the entire White House.
50-50. Whew. What, and high rise? Would it be a high rise?
Yes, a gold high rise.
The house will be bigger than the ballroom.
Well, to me, the whole point is the ballroom is bigger than the White House now. And therefore, he will justify it by saying, it's all out of proportion. We need a bigger White House. And in fact, what we need is a gold house with a big T on it.
That White House was designed by an Irishman, so I hope the Irish get their Irish up over that.
Don't hold your... This is all a fantasy in my head, but I just am looking for credit if it comes true.
He's acting out all his fantasies. The U.S. is now denying visas to Europeans who work in combating online hate and trying to expel green card holders who do this work. Marco Rubio, he says, they've led organized efforts to coerce American platforms to censor, demonetize, and suppress American viewpoints that they oppose. For God's sakes. Anyway.
Look, Hegseth is going after Mark Kelly for just standing up and telling the truth about following illegal orders. And as I feared, none of the military rank and file seem to be, that we know of, raising any objections to any of these illegal actions by the administration. They're all right there participating in murdering people at sea, murdering people in Venezuela, doing whatever.
There are some that are just quitting, but they're the
I hope so.
They are.
You don't hear much about that.
They are quitting.
And a trans employee at the National Security Agency, Sarah O'Neill, is suing the agency because the Trump administration rules, she says, are trying to deny her very existence.
That is her quote. And Pam Bondi wants the government to create cash bounties for turning in trans equality activists. She wants the FBI to ignore the right-wing terror attacks and target anti-fascists and trans people instead. Literally, this order says investigations into Antifa-aligned extremists, including those promoting radical gender ideology. This has now become a crime.
Anything you say that is casting any aspersions on Trump or anyone in the administration is now a crime.
And the U.S. Justice Department says filming immigration raids is now domestic terrorism. They say, oh, but you could expose them to doxing and things and stuff like that while they're exposing us to fascism.
All right, enough of this. Let's move on to the Kennedy Center.
Well, before we leave federal stuff, we should point out on January 13th, the Supreme Court is going to hear oral arguments in the case about transports dealing with West Virginia. 27 states ban transgender youth from playing sports. So that's all happening on the 13th. And I also should say that several LGBTQ organizations are going to have a rally in Union Square on Saturday, January 10th at 1 p.m. in support of trans youth before the Supreme Court hears those arguments.
Good.
Okay. Go to the Kennedy Center.
Go. No, don't go to the Kennedy Center.
Well, we'll go to protest.
Well, Stephen Schwartz, famous out gay composer.
Wicked, Godspell, you name it.
So he was scheduled to appear at the Kennedy Center to host a gala for the Washington National Opera, and he has now withdrawn. People are withdrawing on an almost daily basis from showing up there. He says it used to be an apolitical event or venue, but now, of course, it's a political statement to show up. And Rick Grinnell's answer to this is, he was never booked.
Well, he
was advertised, but Grinnell says, oh, he was never booked.
Two jazz concerts pulled out, and Rick Grinnell wants to sue them for $1 million. But Doug Barone and Dancers, which is a New York dance company who canceled their performance, said, look, we're going to lose $40,000 by pulling out. It is financially devastating to us, but morally exhilarating.
Yeah. Couple of things. First of all, our very good friend Rob Shooter, who does great reporting on a daily basis, all day long, churning out very interesting tidbits, came up with one the other day that really scooped everybody. I can only hope that this is true. As they say, Gay USA has not independently confirmed this yet. But I've seen it quoted by like People Magazine has quoted it. So Rob says that the deal is that what the administration and the Kennedy Center are going to do is they're going to demand that any future Kennedy Center honorees agree to perform for 10 weeks at the Kennedy Center.
You will dance for your supper.
And you will fill those seats that are otherwise empty because everyone else is pulling out. Now, the other cute thing around this is, because I am a conscientious reporter who believes I have to pay attention to details, I watched the Kennedy Center honors over the holidays, or I fast-forwarded through a lot of them. But I watched Trump's opening speech because, of course, he is the first president who is actually taken over the MC role at this event instead of just sitting quietly in his box. So he gets up there and he says at one point to the crowd, so I'm MCing this. If I'm really good, would you like me to leave the presidency in order to make hosting a full-time job? And I thought, there it is. That's what he wants to do. He wants to get out of all of this. He wants to just go back to being a television game show host.
Listen, and we're not joking about this. I say let him be king of Greenland. Take his court as long as they agree never to come back.
Now, well, the funniest comment about Greenland is Joe Scarborough, who this morning, as we're taping on Wednesday, said they're showing the map and everything. He said, you know, I wish they would show Greenland at its actual size, because when it's flattened out on these maps, it looks like it's as big as all of North America, which it is not. And I know that Trump is looking at that map and saying, whoa, that's so big. I want that.
Well, it's like most maps make Africa look much smaller than it is.
And it's all a distortion, and Greenland looks enormous. So Joe thinks that's why Trump wants it, which is entirely possible.
And before we leave the now Trumpian Kennedy Center, our friends at South Park have gotten the URL TrumpKennedyCenter.org, and it's all full of anti-Trump stuff, and they're very clever, and we love them.
It's a writer for South Park, I think, who did that, who does that with various places. Okay. All right, and Stephen Miller's wife, Katie Miller, has predicted that the U.S. will take over Greenland.
Well, I mean, he's been giving interviews all week saying the world is ruled by force, and it always has been, and we're the most powerful, and we're going to do it.
That's right.
There's the pushback. You know, in the first administration, when he made outrageous statements like that, he got fired.
Yes. Well, no more. He is in charge.
Let's go to New York City. Of course, Zoran Mamdani was inaugurated as mayor. And the before that, he named, and she's now been sworn in, Lillian Bonsignore as an out lesbian, as the fire commissioner, the first second woman and the first lesbian. And there she is in the middle there with her wife holding the Bible at the ceremony. Now,
I have to say that when I saw this, I said, oh my God, Zoran has hired a big butch lesbian to run the fire department. He doesn't care what anybody thinks about anything. This is thrilling.
He's appointing, you know, prominent progressives to many positions. I don't know what her politics are, but you're right about that she's an out lesbian. Now, of course, Elon Musk, who is very anti-gay and anti-trans, he posts, people will die because of this. Proven experience matters when lives are at stake. So Zoran says experience does matter, which is why I appointed the person who spent more than 30 years at EMS, you know, the workforce that addresses at least 70% of the calls coming to the FDNY. And of course, if Musk is concerned about people dying, he has, and I'm going to say this slowly, he has literally been responsible for the deaths of over 1 million people because he defunded USAID, which did all the health work overseas. That's what they've documented so far.
Well, overseas is the key word. He doesn't care about people overseas. But Bonsignore is a veteran of the Marines and is a cybersecurity expert in addition to her 30 years at the EMS. So I don't know her. I can't.
Don't you all know each other?
We should. But I took one look at her and said, oh my God, this is thrilling.
And you got to love a mayor who included in his inaugural committee, Cola Skull.
Absolutely. And who, as we march along, had the very famous out trans announcer from the subway system, Bernie Wagonblast, be the announcer for his inauguration.
Bernie has been the voice of the subway system for decades. And
we covered her transition a few years ago, which was very brave at the time. And there she is announcing the inauguration.
And singing the national anthem at the inauguration was Javier Munoz. Oh, we got Javier Munoz first. Yeah.
There you go.
There he is. He's out gay, out HIV positive. Terrific.
And Lucy Dacus of Boy Genius, that group, sang Bread and Roses in an absolutely beautiful performance. It was it really almost made me cry. It was so beautiful. She's out queer in her description. And we're going to link to that performance in our show note, because really it's worth listening to.
I wasn't there. I read it. I think he gave a great speech. The has-been pointed out. And I noticed, too, among the litany of groups that he usually mentions, LGBTQ and trans a lot, didn't happen to in this case. But come on, this was a pretty queer ceremony.
The poet Cornelius Eady cited queer and trans students of his. Jumaane Williams, who has not always been our closest friend, got up and defended trans people.
He's been our close friend for at least 10 years. I mean, come on. I mean, he had some problems before.
That's all I'm saying.
All right. Can we go to Culver City, California? Because they made history last Monday night as a city council unanimously appointed its next mayor and vice mayor and city manager. First out, gay mayor, Freddie Puza, P-U-Z-A, unanimously selected, and also the vice mayor. So progress.
Okay, a couple of other more local things. In the Orlando Sentinel in Florida is suing for the public records around the erasure of rainbow crosswalks overnight outside the Pulse nightclub. They want to get to the bottom of that. Not that it'll be a surprise.
In Iowa, a Democratic candidate won a special election for the state Senate, and that prevents Republicans from reclaiming a supermajority in the chamber, which is important.
And I was happy to see in Georgia that a judge dismissed the racketeering charges against the protesters who have been trying to prevent the construction of the Cop City complex outside Atlanta, which is this huge facility in the woods that is going to train all these ICE people and cops and everything else. And people have been sitting in trees for years and trying to shut this down. And the government tried to charge them with racketeering, and the judge said no and threw out the case.
But in Michigan, a federal appeals court blocked the state's ban on conversion therapy for minors who are LGBTQ, saying it violates the First Amendment right of therapists and counselors. This case was brought by Catholic Charities. Now, nothing is stopping Catholic counselors or priests and everything from trying to dissuade you from being who you are, the way a lot of them have dissuaded themselves from being who they are. But, this is about therapy.
And in California, a federal judge says schools can tell parents if their kids are using different names in schools or a different gender identity. And this is the result of a case brought by a couple of religious teachers who wanted to be able to rat out the kids to their parents. It's a shame.
Better news, the Oklahoma Supreme Court ruled that former state education head Ryan Walters, a total bigot, his attempt to force Christian nationalist propaganda into the curriculum violated the state's Open Meeting Act. So you could argue that's on a technicality, but they're stopping it.
Now, they've shut down Ryan Walters kind of nicely in Oklahoma. It gives you hope.
But the university, fired that graduate student who is now barred from teaching over gender grading essay of a student who used religion in it instead of science.
Right. Unbelievable. Interesting tidbit back here in New York, where a former editor for the New York Times worked there for 11 years, a trans woman named Billie Jean Sweeney, came out and blew the whistle on the New York Times hierarchy and says that publisher A.G. Sulzberger, the latest scion of the Sulzberger family, which has owned or run the paper for many years, mandated anti-trans coverage, promoted J.K. Rowling and the British Cass Report in an attempt to prove that they were even-handed in their coverage of trans people and issues.
Hundreds of us signed a letter to Joe Kahn, the executive editor, trying to get a meeting about this and got nowhere.
No, because why would you? They have the power. They are doing right. what they want.
We protested the Post, New York Post years ago. They gave their editors gave us a meeting. It's
2026 or five. Okay. There, but the Times is denying this and saying, no, we do very deep and accurate reporting on trans stuff. No, they do not.
Times editors and publishers, we're asking you to reflect on your possible prejudices that you have not dealt with.
Well, that's a lovely idea.
Okay. In Texas, there's a Waco judge, justice of the peace. She wants to be the latest person to overturn Obergefell. And, you know, through she's saying, I don't want to do these ceremonies, so let's overturn the whole law for the whole country.
Marriage, we're talking about.
But she is, yes, marriage equality. She is represented, though, by Jonathan Mitchell, who is widely known for crafting Texas's 2021 abortion law that set the stage for the downfall of Roe v. Wade.
I continue to believe that marriage and abortion are two very, very different subjects, as are marriage and trans issues. And I think the Supreme Court so far has decided to draw a line on marriage and withhold and uphold it, maybe just so they can say they follow some precedents.
Better news in Florida, where the attorney general there spent 2 months trying to shut down a Pensacola production of a drag queen Christmas and failed in a 1600 seat venue. It was sold out. I mean, the city council just said, we can't afford a lawsuit over this, and you're asking us to violate the First Amendment.
Nice. All right. Are we ready to talk about some of the people we lost?
I think we are.
Okay. Well, first, and really close to our hearts, Mark Milano, a longtime member of ACT UP New York, employee of ACREA, an anti-HIV/AIDS educational organization, involved with Reclaim Pride in its early days, creating the alternative Pride March, Rise and Resist, currently Gays Against Guns. If there was an activist group here in the last 30 years, Mark was part of it, 40 years.
Survived by a partner of 23 years, Jerry Valero. They're pictured with Mark at the hands-off action this past April. And Mark wrote, still recovering from my kidney transplant, so I only made it 6 blocks, but we were there. And of course, Mark goes so far back, and he was a big gay activist as well. We have the Newsday cover in 1998, our big Matthew Shepard demonstration. There's Mark featured on the light blue shirt, the ACT UP t-shirt there at left, protesting that murder.
Yeah, that demonstration was a mess. One thing that was amusing about Mark was he spent several years debating openly and to himself with great angst. Should I get arrested? I haven't been arrested. Everyone else has been arrested. Why haven't I been arrested? When am I going to get arrested? It was kind of funny to watch. No one cared. No one was blaming him.
And he kind of got arrested constantly.
Well, eventually he crossed the line. He got arrested, and then he started getting arrested a lot. But it was just, it was funny because that was one of the things about Mark.
Should we run? Look.
Yeah, go ahead. And then I'll tell you an important story.
So look, I mean, you know, we had him on the show back in 1994. Now, this is before protease. Huh?
Before me on the show.
Before you. But I mean, this is before protease inhibitors were certified as a treatment, an effective treatment. And he decided to jumpstart the AIDS Cure Project. And well, here's that. This is about 5 minutes.
Have you heard yet about the AIDS Cure Project? That's ACT UP's big project now. This is the new push to find a cure for AIDS and to reorganize everything in the AIDS establishment. With us is Mark Milano, who has really been pushing this for a long time. It used to be known as the Barbara McClintock Project. You've changed the name. How come?
To make it clear, AIDS Cure Project says what it is. It's now inspired by the work of Barbara McClintock, who's a great researcher.
Now, we're trying to get you interested here in a forum that's taking place on March 12th, Saturday, at the Lesbian and Gay Community Center from 1 to 4:30. What is that about?
Forum is to have an open community discussion and debate on whether this is the way to go. We feel that we need a radical restructuring of the way research is done if we're going to find a cure with any kind of speed. Tony Fauci was recently asked, if AIDS research continues the way it is today, is anybody with HIV now going to survive it? And he said no. He agrees that if you're waiting for the NIH to find a cure for you, forget it. You know, it's not going to be there. Now, I'm not waiting for them. I'm looking for, you know, other ways.
You are HIV positive.
I am HIV positive.
How long have you known that you're HIV positive?
I was told in 81 that I was pre-AIDS. Wow. So I've never waited for the NIH. I'm doing it on my own. But for those people who are...
And you've never progressed to AIDS?
No.
Okay.
So those people who are, though, it's not going to come from... Even Tony Fauci admits that. So we're saying, hey, there has to be a better way. And what we're saying is it's not a Manhattan Project, but it's somewhat similar. It's getting the best minds together in a primary location with other people around the world helping them. But the best minds together, getting rid of the red tape, getting rid of the drug company, excessive control, getting rid of the granting process, pushing them forward, letting them move forward with the roadblocks removed. Not telling them what to do, but getting them the kind of creative, exciting atmosphere that'll make it happen. It's a big change. It's raised big, big arguments against it because people want to maintain the status quo or a modified status quo.
Now, who are the big names supporting this? You've got Congressman Nadler has introduced a bill into the Congress.
Right.
That would what?
It's not legislation to actually implement the AIDS Cure Project as written by ACT UP New York. It's really the first time
we... Bill by ACT UP in the Congress. I mean, what are there going to be public hearings on it? What's going to happen with it?
What we're doing right now is we are building... This will only happen if there is a tremendous national outcry for this.
Who are some of the big names that you've got on board to support this project now? I mean, the mere fact that ACT UP is supporting it is significant.
And we have activists from around the country who are supporting it.
Right. Beyond
we have many AIDS organizations, AIDS Action Now in Canada. We have Body Positive here in New York. We have PWAX around the country who are supporting it.
Crisis?
The Women's Health Crisis is much more conservative than this.
AIDS Action Council
would never support it. Okay. They want something that is more quote unquote doable. You know, more feasible. This is too big. This is like a pipe dream.
What does Larry Kramer think
about? They won't support
it?
That. Larry likes the idea, but Larry is Larry. You know, and chooses to put his energy where he puts it. You know, and Larry is certainly not opposed to this. But there are people, certainly in the research community, who are violently opposed to this, you know, and they think the Manhattan Project means going off in the desert somewhere. That's absurd. We're saying put them together in New York City, you know, where there are people with AIDS living.
We get so much AIDS news, we don't know what to do with it. One of the things that appeared in the paper this week is said that protease inhibitors, blind alley, is that
right? Well, this particular one has shown major resistance after only 6 months. So now there are new ones going into trials. But the thing is, they're still focusing on HIV. How do we fight HIV? How do we fight
HIV? What should we be looking at?
We should be looking at people with AIDS. How come Kimberly Bacallus gets infected and within 3 years is dead? How come I'm infected 13 or more years ago and I'm fine? What's different between us?
Could it have to do with the strain of the virus that you're getting?
They think so. Probably not. They think it's more the way the body responds to the virus. I think it's personally your attitude, too. But who knows what it could be. They need to look at people with AIDS. They need to look at a broad range of theories.
And this is going to be looked at this community forum. So make your pitch. You make your pitch right over here.
Okay.
Tell people to come out.
Saturday, March 12th, 1 to 4:30 p.m. at the Lesbian and Gay Center at 208 West 13th Street. TAG will be there. Project Inform will be there from San Francisco. ACT UP New York will be there. And a lot of other people. Come and learn how you can fight for a cure. Pick the plan you like the best and fight for it, but don't sit there wait for the NIH because it ain't going to happen.
We want to thank Mark Milano, who's an indefatigable fighter against this thing. I'll tell you, folks, you know, instead of just mourning for all the people that we're losing, we got to get out there and fight. And this is one of the ways to do it. Thanks for being with us, Mark. We'll be back in a moment.
And so
now,
we did that.
Of course, that was over 30 years ago. Don't go to the community center.
But I mean, look at the passion. And it didn't stop for 30 years. He was part of the disruption of Al Gore's announcement that he was running for president because Al Gore was stopping AIDS drugs from being sold reasonably in South Africa. And he kept on that. He kept at it, and he was effective.
We will link in the show note to Mark's interview with the ACT UP Oral History Project, which tells a lot of these stories at length, which are quite fascinating. Mark was also a wonderful singer and loved performing at local clubs and events. So he was special, and the community is very shocked at his passing.
Right. He was a great guy and a friend, and just it's very sad. But you know, every time he got sick from something, he said, "Can I come on the show and talk about it?"
Well, he did. He came on and talked about anal cancer.
He wanted to educate people, yeah. Just like Ann Northrup.
Well, I'm still here. We will let you know about any future plans for a memorial or any kind of gathering.
And then we lost a real pioneering filmmaker and activist, Rosa von Praunheim has died at the age of 83. There he is back in 1984.
Looking good for 83.
His first feature, 1971, was called "It Is Not the Homosexual Who is Perverse, but the Society in Which He Lives." And that film was described as Germany's Stonewall moment.
I think that's the greatest film title I've ever heard.
It's all right. It's the theme of the Gay USA show.
It is.
He also made An Army of Lovers or The Revolt of the Perverts. He also made documentaries with the late Phil Zwickler, Positive, which we have a poster of, and this is Silence Equals Death, another one that he made, the together about the raging AIDS crisis in New York in 1990 when there was no cure.
He was a co-founder of ACT UP Germany, a very active activist. He also, in 1996, made a film called Transsexual Menace. So he was doing everything across the board for many, many, many years.
And he made a film called The Einstein of Sex about Magnus Hirschfeld, who was really the father of the gay movement in 1896 in Berlin until his death in 1930. He married his longtime partner, Oliver Sechting, just a few days before he died. But he was a great guy. He was on Gay USA many, many, many times. All right.
A loss. All right. And next. Robert Heide died at 91. I have been trying to research what that hand signal means for the last 2 days, and I have yet to nail it. Let us know if you know what it means. Off-Broadway playwright, famous for hanging around with the downtown crowd, Warhol, many others for many years.
Well, the downtown crowd included Edward Albee, Sam Shepard, Terrence McNally, and Lanford Wilson when he started out.
Exactly. He did a play in 1965 called The Bed, which you think heated rivalry is provocative. The Bed in 1965 was at least as provocative.
Well, Rosa von Praunheim made a film where he had sex with a man in front of his class in Germany. That was something, too.
Yeah. There's nothing new under the sun.
All right.
So Robert leaves his husband, John Gilman. They were together for 60 years.
Wow.
He was at Stonewall.
Yep.
He saw the whole thing, and he worked with Warhol.
And then Brett Hannah Shuford, he's in the middle of the picture here with his husband, Stephen, and their son. He was 46. He was diagnosed with a rare immune condition and T-cell lymphoma. He made his Broadway debut in Beauty and the Beast on Broadway, worked with the Disney productions, lots of Broadway productions. But he and Brett and Stephen were also influencers known as the Broadway Husbands, a social media channel documenting their joint journey as a sober gay couple, as parents and as advocates for LGBTQ families. So very, very sad. This was very fast and a very rare disease.
And then Lane Rogers, whose real name was Blake Mitchell, but
his real name is Lane Rogers. He performed as Blake Mitchell in adult films.
I reversed it. Thank you. 31 years old, killed in a motorcycle accident in California.
He was very big. He had 400,000 followers, on his accounts, and he had a legion of fans. And he was a sweet guy.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Francis Petrell, 78 years old, author of ballets, most famously the Yorkville Nutcracker, died in Florida. He also was famous for a biographical or semi-biographical ballet that he did in 1994 called Anyone Can, that was about his struggle with his own sexuality and was set to Stephen Sondheim songs.
Well, he of course was gay and he experienced bullying in his youth, but that did not deter him from dressing often in pearls and behaving as he liked.
Quite the dandy.
Yes. And we have Billy Porter's not dead, thank goodness. In fact, he's reporting that he has basically recovered from this urosepsis that he was suffering from, which had made him drop out of the production of Cabaret on Broadway. I just wants everybody to know he's on the road to a full recovery.
And one more obituary from Sacramento, California, where Alvin Prasad, out gay man and activist, was killed in a brutal assault outside a nightclub there in November. His killer was 25 years old, who they got into some kind of...
The kid was offended by the fact that he was in a pink suit and just started insulting him. And Prasad was with his daughter. He calls my dad weird, and then he got very rude and aggressive, and then it went off. And God, this is... men.
Prasad tried to go talk to the kid, and the kid killed him.
He'd been in a coma since November, since the assault. All right. And some people accused of behaving badly. Tyler Perry has been accused of sexual assault in a second lawsuit from an aspiring actor who said he used his power against him. He, of course, denies it. Donnie McClurkin, the Grammy-winning gospel singer and pastor, is accused of sexually abusing a young man over several years and once wrote an apology note to the guy describing himself as a dirty old man. So the guy may have something going there.
All right. And Will Smith is in the middle of some kind of accusation. Either he covered up something or he made some advance. It's unclear.
Well, somebody accusing him of deliberately grooming and priming him for further sexual exploitation.
By him or someone else. Anyway, we have about 6 minutes. So
let's go. The out gay speed skater Connor McDermott Mostowy is headed to the first Winter Olympics in Milan in the speed skating thing. He's out gay.
And Brittany Bowe is out lesbian, is going for the fourth time to the Olympics. She's already won two bronzes.
We're now voting with all the wrong people at the UN over various things.
Yes. And the UN, U.S. is trying to screw up the World Economic Forum in Davos by bringing all their anti-woke stuff there. Look
at
for those.
Vatican, the Pope was doing the Christmas greetings, to the Roman Curia. And one of the masters of ceremonies is a big Monsignor on the hot mic is saying, the faggots all together like that. And the Pope hears this and he says, you're fired. You're done. We're not doing that.
Which would not happen in Kazakhstan, where the president has signed a no promo homo bill, which imposes fines and jail on anyone who speaks up. Georgia and Kyrgyzstan are the countries around there that have already done this in obeisance to their mother, Russia.
Poland is proposing legal recognition for same-sex couples, but they have to kind of keep it kind of conservative because they have a conservative president who has to sign off on this.
Although he's the one who's less conservative than the previous government, right?
Yeah.
marriage or
the prime minister is, but they elected a conservative president.
Got it. No marriage or adoption in for gay couples. In Saudi Arabia, you may have read about the comedy festival they were holding there and the debates over American comics who decided to show up there in spite of Saudi Arabia's reputation. One of them was Dave Chappelle, who has found an audience for his anti-trans jokes. He says he killed in Riyadh with his anti-trans set.
And in France, 10 of the French trolls who have been attacking Brigitte Macron and saying, the wife of Emmanuel Macron, saying that she's a man, have been found guilty of cyberbullying.
In Malaysia, a judge has released 200 gay men who were arrested at a spa. He said there was no evidence of exploitation or coercion into prostitution. But of course, all these men have been publicly identified, so they're going to be harassed anyway. And in Azerbaijan, the cops there have arrested and abused 100 plus men at a nightclub there.
Okay, entertainment news.
Yes, quickly.
I don't want to argue over this, but for the first time, the highest grossing movie star in the world is an out LGBTQ person, Jonathan Bailey. All this means, under the way they describe it, this, who has been in the most blockbusters, and it was him in this case.
He was in Wicked for Good and Jurassic World Rebirth, and therefore he gets credit for being the highest grossing. Bowen Yang did his quit Saturday Night Live. Lorne Michaels is very angry at him for walking away.
Okay. My London reviews are going to be in the email. They're online at gaycitynews.com. But three shows to recommend at the National Theater: Ballet Shoes, which is a multicultural extravaganza that you won't see at the Kennedy Center. John Millington Sings, 1907, Playboy of the Western World, excellent revival. A new play called Anne, starring Clive Owen as an aging DJ dying of cancer in a tug of war with his wife. And I'm also recommending J.B. Priestley's When We Are Married at the Donmar Warehouse, featuring Sophie Thompson there on the left. GayCityNews.com for my full reviews.
Hottest thing on TV at the moment, Netflix's Heated Rivalry. Very, very popular with straight women. And gay men are watching hockey now.
That's true. And out actor Andrew Scott will star in a biopic of the out actor Ian Charlson.
And more entertaining than the Kennedy Center honors were the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions, one of whom was Cyndi Lauper, who did a performance of True Colors that was incredibly moving with rainbows all over the place. I'm sure you can find it online. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Cyndi Lauper, True Colors.
How much time do we have, Ann?
10 seconds.
Okay, they're going to make a musical of the movie Pride. I'm excited about that in London.
Okay, we're back. We'll be back next week. Thanks for hanging in with us. We'll see you then.
Bye-bye.